What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Pete Callender here. It's the Pete Callender Show. It is, Tuesday? Is today Tuesday? It is March 12th. And we go now live to the House Judiciary Committee. This is Congressman Dan Bishop, who is talking to the special prosecutor, Robert Herr.
Confidence, but not necessarily that it is classified. And footnote 866 is a reference, and it refers to the Biden 10-9-23 transcript at 24 and 25. Now, we have that now, but we haven't until this morning. But I just want to read from that exchange. This is on page 24, line 15. Mr. Crickbaum, so this is a typewritten document. It's got a confidential, what appears to be a stamp at the top. And the top of the document indicates it's from the American AM Embassy, Kabul. It's dated what appears to me to be November 09. The only question I have for you about this, Mr. President, is the confidential marking. Do you recognize that to be a classification marking? President Biden, no. I mean, confidential doesn't want to get around. It's not in a category, I don't think, of code word, top secret, that kind of thing, but I don't even know where it came from. Mr. Crickbaum, are you familiar with confidential as a level of classified information? President Biden, well, if I got a document that said confidential, it means it would mean that no one else could see it but me, and you give it, or the people working on this issue. Mr. Crickbaum, and are you aware that among certain categories of classified information, there is top secret, secret, and there's also a category of classified information called confidential? Is that something that you are aware of or not? President Biden, yes, I was aware of it. I don't ever remember when I got any document that was confidential that was meant for me to read and or discuss with the people who sent me the memo, so. And that's the, and then it trails off. So as I read that, those answers, they're equivocal. He at first says he doesn't know, do you recognize that to be a classification marking? He said no, and then goes on to explain. But then Mr. Crickbaum came back and he said, are you aware that among certain categories of classified information, there's also a category of classified information called confidential? And he says, yes, I was aware of it. So, Mr. Herr, just in that one instance, there seems to be a discrepancy between the conclusion in the report or the summary of the evidence in the report and what the transcript says. Can you offer any guidance to this committee why you would put that summary in your report as opposed to saying that he gave inconsistent answers, or in fact, why didn't you nail down in the transcript which was the right answer? He's given answers that says no, and then he says yes. Why didn't you pursue it until you knew?
Congressman, the report reflects our best efforts to summarize and characterize the evidence in the investigation, including the investigation we received from the president himself during our interview of him. But as you point out, the transcripts of the president's interview over 2 days are now available to the committee for their inspection, and the members are able to draw their own conclusions based on the transcripts that are now available to them.
Well, with all, and I appreciate your answer, and I certainly think things, you know, you can come up with some details that someone can disagree on, and it has the quality, I know, of some cherry picking because I've just found something, but we've only had a little bit of time to look. I don't think it serves this process well for the Justice Department to dump these transcripts into the public right now. If they were going to be released, they should have been released at a proper time. And I think I'll leave it at that, Mr. Chairman. I'll yield back.
The gentleman yield.
I will yield
just,
to the chairman.
Just real quick, Mr. Herr, someone earlier said, you know, said something about changing the facts. You said, I'm not going to change the facts, but let's keep the facts the same, but change the subject. If you had the same facts, and the individual that you were investigating was 65 and had a good memory, do you reach the same conclusion?
Congressman, as I responded earlier to a question along these lines, I am not here to entertain hypotheticals about facts or circumstances that may be different. What I did was assess the evidence and the facts that I obtained in this investigation and make a judgment based on this set of evidence.
Fair enough. The chair now recognizes the gentlelady from Washington for 5 minutes.
All right. So what are we listening to? Glad you asked. This is the special counsel report on the Biden classified documents that is now former special counsel Robert Hur. He's the one that did the interviews with Joe Biden, and he led the investigation into all of the classified documents that were found at Joe Biden's, his house, I think his other house, and then his office, right, the Penn Center. So just in various places. Robert Hur's report. So now he's here to answer questions. And I've been watching this throughout the morning before I got on the air here. It started at 10 a.m., Oh, wait, hang on a second. I think it was actually like 10:09. I got to be very clear about this because Democrats will pounce, dare I say, seize upon any misstatement of the time of day as proof that it's not just Joe Biden that doesn't remember dates and times and such. Okay, that's what they were doing today. So the whole thrust of not just Swalwell, but all of the Democrats. Sorry, I just went to a different place there. Anyway, the thrust of the Democrats' argument has been that Biden cooperated. And have you heard about all of the transgressions of Donald Trump? Right. And Donald Trump is worse. Donald Trump is worse. Oh, my God, have you seen Donald Trump? What about that case? What about that stuff? That's all they've done. Eric Swalwell listed all of the problems that Donald Trump has, all of the accusations, the porn star payoffs, like all of the stuff, right? Went through just this huge litany, this laundry list of things that Donald Trump is accused of doing or has done, has been proven to do, whatever. It just like this whole list. And then he says to the former special counsel, Robert Hur, do you pledge not to accept an appointment if Donald Trump becomes president? Because Hur was originally appointed, 8 years ago by Donald Trump as a U.S. attorney. I forget which district. And then after his term was over and he was out. And so he's been in private practice. And so when Merrick Garland needed a special counsel to come and investigate Joe Biden over the classified documents, right, he turned to Robert Hur. So Hur came out of retirement, which, you know, unlike the David Weiss appointment as special counsel, Hur actually doesn't work for the federal government, which is how it's supposed to be done. David Weiss does, which I don't know why he's still permitted to pursue. Anyway, doesn't matter. Different case. Point is that Democrats' entire line of argument here was that Joe Biden was not a feeble-minded, senile old man that forgot stuff. In fact, he cooperated at every turn, and Donald Trump is so much worse, and that's what everybody should be looking at. Republicans have been focused on the two-tier justice system. You know, why is this guy not being prosecuted? They're trying to get at the rationale behind not prosecuting Biden, not prosecuting his ghostwriter, not prosecuting any of the people that are around Biden that took the documents over the course of all these years and moved them all around. Nobody is to blame, right? Nobody is going to be penalized for it. And the Republicans keep focusing on why is that the case? And Jordan just asked, you just heard him after Dan Bishop, he asked if Joe Biden was not this senile old man, sympathetic senile old guy that, you know, memory issues, would you have prosecuted him? Would you have recommended charges? And Hur, as he has done throughout the morning, says, I'm not engaging in hypotheticals, which is what he said to Swalwell also. So that's been the way it has gone. I also have two other audio clips here. I'll be monitoring as well. But two other audio clips. These were the opening statements from Jim Jordan as well as, these were the questions from Jordan and from the ranking Democrat, Jamie Raskin, who is just awful. All right, well, just as I predicted, DraftKings Sportsbook is now live in North Carolina. The wait is over. Now you can legally bet on all of your favorite sports anytime, anywhere in the state with DraftKings, an official sports betting partner of NASCAR. DraftKings has tons of the best features like parlays for multiple games, player props that focus on individual players and their performance within a specific game, social betting groups where you can share your bets with your friends in real time, and just in time for college basketball conference tournaments now underway. And as always, fast and easy payouts, and I have a special promo for you. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use the code word Pete, and bet $5 to get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code Pete. The crown is yours, but this is a limited time offer. Gambling problem? Call 877-718-5543 or visit morethanagame.nc.gov. 21 plus, North Carolina only. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. Oh, and deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. Terms are at DraftKings.com/sportsbook/NC. And NASCAR is not a sponsor of this promotion and is used under license. I do not have time to play the audio clip, the two audio clips, or either one of them, actually, individually, before the bottom of the hour newscast. I don't think so, because I think they get 5 minutes here to ask their questions. Let me just double check on the time. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's 5 minutes. Okay, that's what I thought. So we'll wait till after the news, play Jim Jordan. This is from the special counsel testimony in front of the House Judiciary, and this just started up at 10 a.m. I've been monitoring it. There is a couple of odd things about this hearing today. For example, Molly Hemingway, who is a writer at The Federalist, she points out how it's weird how mean some of the Democrats on the House Judiciary Committee are being towards Robert Hur, the special counsel, considering that he let their leader get away with mishandling classified information for financial gain, even as his department is breaking all precedent and norms to go after their top political rival. That is kind of weird. And by the way, was it Ted Lieu? He just got his round of 5 minutes, and all his questions were about how awesome Joe Biden was, and how cooperative he was, and how terrible and uncooperative President Trump was. So that's all that they keep hammering away at, which indicates to me that they really don't have anything to go after this special counsel report on. They can't attack the merits of the thing. They just keep pointing out that Joe Biden wasn't charged, and Donald Trump was, and Donald Trump is bad. Which, by the way, if you are going to reject the idea that Joe Biden would be can't be charged, because if he were charged, it would be difficult to win a conviction because he would come across as a sympathetic elderly man with poor memory. And they've been pushing back on this narrative because it hurts Joe Biden politically. Okay, if you don't want us to believe that, then therefore he must be okay, so I guess he should be charged, right? Logic would dictate that. Let me jump over here to National Review, Dan McLaughlin. He says, Hur has made himself an enemy of the national political press for the offense of telling the truth about Joe Biden's failing memory. Hur cited Biden's age and poor memory as a chief basis for not prosecuting Biden mishandling national security documents while out of office. And while the tape recordings of Hur's interview with Biden have not been released, we now have two transcripts, which, by the way, got dumped by the DOJ this morning. Right? Don't tell me the DOJ is not political when they dumped this stuff this morning. The spin machine is in overdrive. Matt Visor at The Washington Post says the full transcript of Biden's special counsel interview paints a nuanced portrait. The president doesn't seem as absent-minded as Hur made him out to be, and Hur doesn't appear as crass as Biden has portrayed him. The Times, how the special counsel's portrayal of Biden's memory compares with the transcript. Hur accused the president last month of significant memory problems. The interview transcript offers context to this report. See, they keep saying that, oh, there's context here. And when you actually read it, no, not really. Not really. He did not remember the year his son died. Did not even remember what year Donald Trump won. Could not remember what year the presidential election was, 2016. He called it 2017. Did not remember. He started talking. I thought this was interesting. Also, there was a portion of it where he mentioned why Obama didn't want him to run for re-election. And it wasn't anything personal. No, no, no. It was just that Hillary had a better shot. All right. Do the current world events have you wondering whether we are teetering on the edge of catastrophe? Are you concerned it's going to reach our shores? Okay, so what are you doing about your concerns? Let me help. Carolina Readiness Supply at carolinareadiness.com. Whether you're looking to expand your emergency preparedness supplies or you have no idea where to even begin, Carolina Readiness Supply can help you. Food, water purifiers, tools, first aid kits, instructional materials, camping and hiking supplies even, because being prepared is just smart. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies and educational materials that you'll need for any kind of emergency. In Waynesville and always at CarolinaReadiness.com, veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out? Special Counsel Robert Hur testifying in front of the House Judiciary Committee this morning and into this afternoon. He began about two and a half hours ago. Got to make sure the timing is correct. This was earlier, the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee, Jim Jordan, questioning the special counsel, Robert Hur. We'll take a listen here. Oh, my goodness. Why, oh, why is it not playing through the audio now? This is so annoying. It really is. Yeah, it's not playing. It won't play through there. I don't know why. Not sure what happened. Not sure why it just stopped playing out of the laptop. I'm running it all through the laptop, and so it's not headset speaker. How about that? Let's try. Yeah, we'll try that. Yeah, this is fantastic. All just to make it play. No, sorry. So it's not going to work. So we're not going to get to any of the audio because whenever I guess I pulled the plug on the. I guess I pulled the plug on the C-SPAN deal that it, oh, you know what I could do? Hang on a second. I'll save it over here into the desktop and we'll see. So I saved it out of my audio editing program this is what you do when you're doing it on the fly. And so in pulling it out, there it is. Let's see.
Mr. Hur, why did you do it?
Look at that.
Why did Joe Biden, in your words, willfully retain and disclose classified materials? I mean, he knew the law. Been in office like 50 years, 5 decades in the United States Senate, chairman of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, 8 years as vice president. He got briefed every day as vice president. He's been in the Situation Room. In fact, you know he knew the rules because you said so on page 226. President Biden was deeply familiar with the measures taken to safeguard classified documents. And Joe Biden told us he knew the rules. Mr. Armstrong said this earlier. Joe Biden was deeply familiar with it. You're exactly right, because he told us when Jack Smith goes after President Trump, Joe Biden says, how could this happen? What data was in those documents that could compromise sources and methods? It's irresponsible. So Joe Biden knew the rules. You know he knew the rules. And Joe Biden told us he knew the rules. So, Mr. Hur, why did he break them?
Great question.
Congressman, the conclusion as to exactly why the president did what he did is not one that we explicitly address in the report.
Mm-mm.
The report explains my decision to the attorney general that no criminal charges were warranted in this manner.
I think you did tell us. I think you told us, Mr. Hur.
Uh-oh.
Page 231, you said this. President Biden had strong motivations. That's a key word. We're getting to motive now. President Biden had strong motivations to ignore the proper procedures for safeguarding the classified information in his notebooks. Why did he have strong motivations? Because, next word, because he decided months before leaving office to write a book. To write a book. That was his motive. He knew the rules. He broke them because he was writing a book. And you further say, and he began meeting with the ghostwriter while he was still vice president. There's the motive. Mr. Hur, how much did President Biden get paid for his book?
Off the top of my head, I'm not sure if that information appears in the report.
It sure does. There's a dollar amount in there.
Oh, for two.
You remember?
It may be $8 million.
$8 million. Joe Biden had 8 million reasons to break the rules. Took classified information and shared it with the guy who was writing the book. That's why he did. He knew the rules, but he broke them for $8 million in a book advance. But you know what? It wasn't just the money. Joe Biden, here's this page 231, very next page. Joe Biden, in your report, Joe Biden viewed his notebooks as an irreplaceable, contemporaneous record of the most important moments of his vice presidency. He had written this all down for the book, for the $8 million. And the next thing you say in your report is, quote, such a record would buttress his legacy as a world leader. You know what this is? It wasn't just the money. It wasn't just $8 million. It was also his ego.
Mm-hmm.
Pride and money is why he knowingly violated the rules. The oldest motives in the book, pride and money. You agree with that, Mr. Herr? You wrote it in your report.
That language, and it does appear in the report, and we did identify evidence supporting those assessments.
You also had another interesting statement in your report. You said Joe Biden, I want to make sure I get this right, viewed himself as a man of presidential timber. Remember that statement, Mr. Herr?
I do.
I believe that does appear in the report, at least in the executive summary.
I think this is interesting, because here's the scary part. Page 200. I said this earlier in my opening statement. Page 200. Joe Biden, this is a quote, Joe Biden risked serious damage to America's national security when he shared information with his ghostwriter. Shared it with his ghostwriter, the guy who was helping Joe Biden get $8 million. And oh, by the way, Mr. Herr, what did that ghostwriter do with the information Joe Biden shared with him on his laptop? What did he do after you were named special counsel?
Chairman, if you're referring to the audio recordings that Mr. Zwanitzer created of his conversations with
exactly what I'm referring to.
He slid, if I remember correctly, he slid those files into his recycle bin on his computer.
Tried to destroy the evidence, didn't he?
Yeah, he deleted it. Correct.
Very guy who was helping Joe Biden get the $8 million, the $8 million Joe Biden used, the motive for Joe Biden to disclose classified information, to retain classified information, which he definitely knew was against the law. When you get named special counsel, what's that guy do? He destroys the evidence. That's the key takeaway in my mind. That's the key takeaway.
I would agree. Seems pretty important. $8 million book deal, presidential timber, ego, right? Because what was it all about? It was about the Afghanistan issue that we had to get out of Afghanistan. And this is, you know, his advice to Barack Obama and this TikTok back and forth with the president at the time. And look at how Joe Biden belongs in this moment. All that. Dan, welcome to the show. Hello, Dan.
Hey.
Hey.
I just have a question. I think that a president can't be charged while he's president with anything except through the process of impeachment. Am I right?
There is question about whether or not a president can be charged, yes, criminally. But this hearing today is part of the impeachment. It's under the impeachment umbrella. News Talk 1110, 99.3 WBT. Now, what happens is when I record something on the laptop, I put it into this system, but then I pull out the cord so I can listen to it without it going over the air. When I pop the cord back in, apparently it doesn't recognize it anymore, and so I had to save it onto the desktop. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Catastrophe averted. So here is now Jamie Raskin and his questioning of the special counsel, Robert Herr, who I think actually didn't even need to be there for much of Raskin's line of questioning.
Mr. Herr, your report starts with the line, we conclude that no criminal charges are warranted in this matter. Have you had any reason to change your opinion about that?
No, ranking member.
You highlight the independence and support you got from the Attorney General and DOJ. Have you changed your mind about that?
I have not.
The report describes President Biden's cooperation in your request. He allowed his homes to be searched. He answered questions for hours in the midst of a global crisis. Have you had any reason to change your mind about that?
No, ranking member.
All right. You also repeatedly contrast Biden's cooperation with the conduct of Donald Trump. You say, quote, most notably after being given multiple chances to return classified documents and avoid prosecution, Mr. Trump allegedly did the opposite. According to the indictment, he not only refused to return the documents for many months, but he also obstructed justice by enlisting others to destroy evidence and then to lie about it. Have you any reason to change your judgment about the differences between President Biden's cooperation and the former president's non-cooperation?
No, I continue to stand by those words in my report.
With such a striking contrast, our colleagues have switched over from being impeachment investigators for constitutional high crimes and misdemeanors, which is how this whole thing started, to being amateur memory specialists, giving us their drive-by diagnoses of the President of the United States, whose soaring oratory, powerful historical analysis, and devastating extemporaneous repartee with even the most skilled ninja hecklers of the Freedom Caucus were on full display at the State of the Union address last week for the whole country to see. The desperate quest to invent an issue is a distraction from the 91 federal and state federal charges that Donald Trump faces now, his staggering civil court losses in New York, now totaling more than $500 million, and his full-blown embrace and romance with authoritarian dictators and communist tyrants all over the world, from Viktor Orban in Hungary to Vladimir Putin in Russia, the former head of the KGB, to the communist dictator of North Korea. It's not... This, my friends, this is a memory test.
Wait, what?
But it's not a memory test for President Biden. It's a memory test for all of America.
Wait.
Do we remember fascism?
What?
Do we remember Nazism? Do we remember communism and totalitarianism? Have we completely forgotten the sacrifices of our parents and grandparents and prior generations? While we play pin the tail on the donkey in this wild goose chase, all of these silly games, Donald Trump entertains authoritarian hustler Viktor Orban at Mar-a-Lago for the weekend, and Orban comes out to declare that if we indeed sleepwalk into another Trump presidency, Trump will, quote, not give a single penny to Ukraine. That's what all of this is about.
What?
It's about trying to pull the wool over the eyes of America, because the tyrants and dictators of the world are on the march today. So who wins with this ludicrous, embarrassing spectacle? Orban wins. Putin wins. Xi wins. The tyrants of the world win. They have one more reason to celebrate Donald Trump and his cult followers who've completely lost their way. They're looking for high crimes and misdemeanors. Now they appoint themselves amateur memory specialists, and that's what they pounce on the President of the United States
pouncing
about. America faces a choice between democracy and tyranny. And the president laid it out at Valley Forge, and he laid it out in the State of the Union. Will America stand on the side of people struggling against fascist aggression? Will we stand with the people of Ukraine against Vladimir Putin, whose filthy war has meant the kidnapping of thousands of Ukrainian children, the murder, the slaughter of thousands of Ukrainian civilians, and the attack on an independent sovereign democracy? But we're not working on that today. We're not standing up for democracy and human rights and international law around the world. No, we're trying to play memory detectives to parse the language of a president who the whole world got to see at the State of the Union address, directly address the real questions of our time.
All right, so charge him. I agree. He's in complete control of his mental faculties, so charge him. All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.